Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, this morning we are in part two of our series called He is Risen. If you were here last week, I tell you what, God just did some powerful, powerful things in all three of those Easter services last week. And then even through this week, we've heard what God has done through testimonies. And we're going to spend another week or two talking about celebrating the fact that He is risen. You know, when Christ rose from the dead, it changed everything. But for some people, it didn't change things as quickly as it could have changed because they were so mesmerized, or maybe the better word is not mesmerized. They were just astonished by the fact that Jesus is alive. They didn't know what to do with it. Let's look at Matthew 28, verse number 16. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Father, I thank you this morning for just the encouraging word we've heard about the work that's being done already in our world. And I pray this morning, the next minutes of time, that you'll help me today. Help me speak above my own ability the words of God alone. I want us each to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to continue to say to us in the service this morning, and we'll give you thanks for it. And everybody in the room said amen. Would you please finish this phrase for me, if you can, out loud? If you've heard this before, help me finish the phrase. If it's too good to be true, it probably is. Do you know what happened on the first Easter morning, or in the season after Jesus rose from the dead? That news was so awesome, so astonishing, that some people heard it and they thought, this is incredible, but it's probably too good to be true. The Bible says that when Jesus met them on this mountain, that many of them worshiped, but some doubted. You know, we've been kind of conditioned to believe. You're knowing that response. If it's too good to be true, it probably is. We've all been programmed to marginalize our faith, or to marginalize what we believe. Or maybe I should say it this way. We've all been taught to believe slowly, right? We all have, and let me just see if it's with you true, or if it's just me. But I'm of the school where I'm pretty quick to believe Jesus can forgive you. How many believe Jesus can forgive you? Right? He can forgive anything you've ever done wrong. He can forgive it no matter how bad it is, how gross it is, no matter how recent it is. Jesus can forgive it. I am easily convinced that Jesus can believe you, but I'm slow to believe that He can forgive me. Right? I'm quick to believe that Jesus can do great things in your life. But sometimes I'm slow to believe that He can do great things in my life. I'm quick to believe that God can heal your body. He can heal your marriage. He can heal your finances. He can heal your kids. He can solve your problems. But sometimes I'm slow to believe that God can heal my body. That He can change my finances. He can change or help my issues. Today I want to talk to you, what do you do about when you deal with the doubts in your life? After the resurrection, when everyone's proclaiming He is risen, there's a lot of people worshiping Jesus, but yet at the same time, simultaneously, there were people that had their doubts. There were people that said, no, I saw Him crucified. I know this is wonderful news that He's alive, but it's too good to be true. And I'm just convinced if there were people in Jesus' day that thought the good news of the resurrection was too good to be true for them, maybe some of you today, maybe you shouted last Sunday at the Easter message, but yet when it comes to what God can do in your life, maybe you're a little bit slow to believe that God can do it for you. As a matter of fact, the definition of the word where Scripture says that many worship but some doubted, that the definition of the word there, doubt, is not like this decision that people are refusing, you know, I'm just making a decision that I'm not going to believe. Actually, the better definition of the word doubt in that instance is not just not believing, but it's slow to believe. It's like that. Like I might can believe, I'm just not believing quite yet. As a matter of fact, in our world today, there's this graph that maybe you've seen before. I remember seeing it back in business school 20 years ago when I was in school. That was called about how quickly or how late you adapt to things. Like, I'll never forget in 2007, I believe the date was June the 29th, in 2007, the very first iPhone was released. Y'all remember that? A guy brought it to church one Sunday and said, Greg, you got to see this new thing. Actually, it may not have been called an iPhone. It may have been called an Apple phone. I don't know. I've never seen one before, but it looked kind of like this. And he said, this is the next best thing. This is incredible. You're going to love this thing. And he showed it to me, and I said, I will never have one of those. He said, why do you not like it? I said, it's a phone with no buttons. How can you use a phone with no buttons? And so I told him he was crazy. You know, my buddy was an innovator. He wanted the newest and greatest, but me, I was a little bit late on that. I don't know if I was like over here an early adopter or early majority, but I'm just telling you, I didn't jump on the bandwagon. I was slow to believe that I needed. And the reason I'm preaching this message this morning is that in this climate where we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, when even the disciples are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, there were those that were worshiping, but there were those that were way over here on the other side that were just kind of, you know what that last, don't you love that last definition on this scale? They're called laggards. How many want to be known as a laggard? Right? If you still have a flip phone, somebody might say you're a laggard. Not me, but others might. I feel like in the body of Christ today, there's a lot of laggards. Amen? We're slow to believe what God can do. I love what Brother Mike said a few moments ago, that there's some people that think the gospel going to certain places, it is impossible. And it is impossible if you don't believe in prayer. I love what he said. It is impossible if you don't believe in faith. It is impossible if you don't believe that God can do the impossible. But friends, as the Church of Jesus Christ, I believe it's time that we stop being slow to believe and we start being quick to believe. Here's a little study for you. If you want to go home and do some homework today, look at how many times Jesus used the phrase slow to believe. It was never a compliment, by the way. So I want to talk to you this morning about how can we speed up our faith? How can we speed up our following, our accepting of what Jesus is doing today? See, I've discovered in Scripture that hesitation is dangerous. Do you remember when Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land? They came out. 10 of them said, we can't do this. Only 2 of them said, we could. What did they do? They had doubt. Eventually, God got on their case and said, you should have done this. And they said, well, now we'll do it. But they hesitated, and even their hesitation robbed them of doing what God wanted them to do. You can see in the New Testament Scripture where doubt can cause our prayers to be marginalized. 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah told people, don't hesitate, but decide today who it is you're going to serve. I'm just telling you that anytime we hesitate to follow Jesus, hesitation costs us. And here's why this is so important. Did you know doubt is contagious? We've all been, I got a mask somewhere on my person. I'd never leave home without it. Well, somewhere in the last 30 minutes, I had one of those masks on me. But we've all been trying to wear this stuff the last 15 months to try to keep us from spreading something we don't want to spread. Can I tell you, they don't make a mask thick enough to keep us from spreading doubt. One of the reasons it is so important for us to make sure we're not slow to believe is that your doubt can affect my faith. Right? Have you ever been excited about something and all of a sudden you just have one conversation with somebody and all of a sudden your faith like went out the window? Doubt is contagious. And it's not just contagious to people, it's transferable. If you have doubt that's not dealt with in your present situation, just because your present situation gets over, if you haven't dealt with it successfully, what's going to happen is the next time you meet another opportunity or you face another mountain or another impossibility, that same doubt that you thought you got over is going to show up again. Just because your trouble is over doesn't mean your doubt is gone if you didn't deal with it. So we got to make sure we're not just living with doubt, but we're defeating the doubt. So, Pastor, how do I do that? I'm so glad you asked. I want to give it to you real quickly. Number one, realize doubt is never defeated with sight. Listen to these words. We just read them to you, right? Jesus has died, buried, risen again. And look at verse number 17. And when they saw him, that's a visual thing, right? They're seeing him. How many times have you heard, seeing is believing? But they saw him. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted despite what they saw. The doubters, the hesitators in this crowd, they had seen everything. They had seen Jesus heal blind people. They'd seen Jesus heal lame people. They'd seen Jesus heal even back to life dead people. They'd seen water turn into wine. They'd seen Jesus do exploits. They'd even seen him crucified. They'd seen him walking around after the resurrection. But yet, no matter what they saw, they still had doubt. Can I tell you, your doubt will not be conquered with sight. Some of you in this room have been praying, well, God, if you'll just let me see one more thing, then I'll start believing. But let me ask you, how many of you have ever seen God do great things in your life? Right? I was telling the men's prayer group this morning that no matter how much I see God do, it always seems like my current battle takes more faith than that battle did. Right? No amount of seeing will ever take the place of believing the word of God over what you're coming from. These guys had seen it all, but yet they still had this hesitation about, I know God saw me through last time, but will God see me through this time? Sometimes we think if I see God do more, then I would believe God more. But can we just be honest enough? I know that we've all said that. Well, if I saw more, I would believe more. But we've all seen more than enough to cause faith to rise in our heart. But it hasn't happened. Why? Because faith does not come by what we see. It only comes by what we hear. That's why 2 Corinthians 5 says, we live by faith and not by sight. Sight never produces faith. Clinging to the word of God does. The other night, Nora and I were sitting on our back porch. Nora's my 3-year-old. And we live about a driver and a 5-iron that way across the street, just a little ways. That's about 600 yards if you're not a golfer. But anyway, we just live right across the street, and which is also where the high school baseball fields are. And we were sitting on the back porch, and they were having a baseball game one night this week, and you could hear them calling the plays over the loudspeaker. And Nora said, Dad, what's that? And I said, it's a baseball game. She said, well, I don't see it. How do you know it's a baseball game? I said, well, I can hear it. She said, well, I don't see it. How do you know? I said, well, you see those trees over there? She said, yeah. I said, on the other side of that tree is a baseball game. She said, how do you know? I said, because I can hear it. Well, I can't see it. I said, well, Nora, I'm telling you, I know there's a baseball field over there, and though I can't see it, I know it's going on because I can hear it. She refused to believe it because she couldn't see it. I refused not to believe it because I was hearing it. Friends, I want to ask you, how are you going to spend the rest of your life? Living by what you see or living by what you've heard from the Word of God? Well, we've been called to walk by faith and not by sight. So even in moments when I can't see what God is doing, when I can hear the voice of God, I know He's up to something. So we got to walk by faith, not by sight. Number two, defeat your doubts this way. Defeat your hesitation with worship. When they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. Did you notice they didn't say some were worshiping Him while they doubted Him? Let me tell you something. Your worship will expel your doubts, or your doubts will expel your worship. There's been some of the most trying times of my life. I'll never forget a couple of years ago. Y'all are people of faith, so you never worry about missing God's will or anything like that. But there's a point in my life where Megan and I had signed up for something, a ministry opportunity, and we were just, the first several weeks, I was like, oh, dear God, did I really hear what you told me to hear? But I knew I'd heard what he told me to hear. I remember I was sitting in the sanctuary when God spoke to me to do what God had called us to do. I remember the song that was playing. It wasn't like a beam of light shone down. I just sensed in my spirit what God was telling us to do. And so for weeks, if not months, Joey, I'd walk over to the sanctuary and I'd get back in that spot and I would just begin to sing out loud in an empty sanctuary the song that was playing when I heard the voice of God. Now listen, how many understand that worship is more than singing? But it's okay if it involves a little bit of singing. And I would just begin to worship the Lord, and I would worship Him, my confidence in God, my faith in God would rise. And so I would just sing until my doubts went away. Some of you have been waiting for your doubts to expire before you start worshiping God. How about this? Start worshiping Him and let your worship push your doubts out of the picture this morning. The most stressful times of my life. You know, Megan knows, Megan says, and I don't want to tell you this because now some of you are going to be listening for it and you're going to get on my case, but Megan says, when I'm stressed, I sigh. Any other sighers in the room? Yeah, hallelujah. I see that hand. Yes, we'll have a meeting after service and we'll just all sigh together. I'll be sitting in the recliner home. She'll say, "You're sighing again." And she'll want me to download what I'm sighing about. And sometimes I do, and I tell her, if I tell you about it, I'm going to sigh even more. So I don't tell her. That's the sign of light stress. But a sign of real stress is this. I start singing more. Because the Word says that God inhabits the praises of His people. And when I don't have anything but doubt, I begin to worship the Lord. And all of a sudden, His presence comes in and my doubts vanish. Because, not because my problems are solved, but because my faith is built by the presence of the Lord. Psalms 34, verse number 1, all of us know this scripture. At the beginning it said, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be in my mouth. I will glorify the Lord." But listen to what it says next. "Let the afflicted hear and rejoice." Your problems don't have to be solved to rejoice. But if you'll rejoice, even when your problems are in your face, you'll discover how God will take what is in your face and replace it with His face. Isn't that our job anyway? Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Number 3, doubts are defeated by action. If you got doubts in your life today, listen to what Jesus said. He said they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. But then Jesus said to all of them, the worshipers and the doubters alike, those who were fired up, ready to go, and those who were hesitating, Jesus said to all of them, "Go, therefore, and make disciples." He gave the same call to those who were hesitating and those who were worshiping. I've discovered all of us will do one of two things when doubt is ruling our life. We'll either act or we'll act out. And everybody in the room that knows what acting out is, right? You got kids, right? You know what acting out. You ever seen your kids act out? I don't need to define that. See, faith causes us to act. Fear causes us to act out. Let me ask you, what's been the description of your last 6 months? Acting or acting out? See, doubt is defeated by action. Jesus called those doubting disciples, those worshiping ones too, but He just called them all. Just come. He said, don't let your doubts keep you from acting. Why would Jesus call those with doubts to follow? I believe He calls all of us to follow even when we have doubts because of this. Sometimes your doubts will not be defeated until you decide to obey God anyway. Brother Mike, I got to ask you a question. Do you think it's possible that when David charged down to fight Goliath, there may have been a little bit of quiver in his liver anyway. You know, I just always think of these heroes like David and Daniel, that when they do these exploits for God, that when they did it, they were just bold and they were just confident. They had no fear. They had no doubt. They had no regard that God might in any way just possibly not show up in the way they wanted to. Or maybe they had enough faith to say, you know what, I do have doubts, but I'm going to charge anyway. I mean, I just wonder, I hear heroes like these guys and others that leave the familiar to go around the world to preach the gospel in very dangerous places, and I wonder, do they, you don't have to answer me now, you can tell me later, but do they go there, chest out, or do they go there, Lord, I don't know how you're going to work all this out, but I'm just going to go, because you called me. Right, because you spoke to me. I'm not sure that we're ever going to have moments where there's not this sense of wanting to hesitate in following Jesus. When I read the Bible, it challenges me to do things I'd rather not do. I like that word he said earlier. It challenges me to do things that are inconvenient. But I believe you can serve God beyond your doubts. You can serve God through your hesitation and see God do something wonderful. Number four, the fourth and final way, let me wrap it up this way, we defeat our doubts is by remembering who's with us. Teaching them to obey everything I command, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The psalmist said, Lord, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I escape your presence? The answer in a nutshell is this: nowhere. God's always with us. Anywhere he calls us, he's always ahead of you. Psalms 139 says, you go before us. We just sang about it this morning. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. He's with us. So I want to ask you this morning to bow your heads with me. We're going to close our service this way. Is there an area of your life you've been hesitating to believe God for? You've been hesitating. Maybe you've sensed God challenge you to take a step of faith. Maybe you've sensed God speaking to your heart, saying, listen, your way of living life isn't really working. It's time you start following me. Maybe you've never become a Christ follower, and you just sense the Holy Spirit nudging you this morning. Maybe you don't know everything about Jesus, but you know that there's an undeniable Spirit of God telling you that starting today, you need to live your life differently. You need to live your life for Him. And maybe you've been hesitating on that decision. Maybe this isn't the first time you felt the Spirit of God nudge you in this way, and you've hesitated. Today, I want to challenge you. Stop hesitating. Start following. Whether you're a first-time believer, or maybe you've just been sitting on something that the Lord's been nudging you. Maybe it's a decision you need to make, a commitment you need to make, a ministry you need to engage in, a person you need to testify to or witness to. You say, Pastor, I've been hesitating. Today, the Lord's calling you. Stop hesitating. Follow me beyond your doubts. Follow me despite your doubts. Follow me. It's a simple call of Jesus today. You say, Pastor, I've been hesitating, but today I'm deciding I'm going to step out and follow Jesus in a new way. Whether for the first time or just something new in your life today. Would you just lift a hand real quick? That's me, Pastor. Pray for me. Amen. 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 Secondly, this morning, I want to challenge you, church. Don't let your doubt, don't let your hesitation rob you of an experience with God. Some were doubting, some were worshiping. Listen, we're in the presence of Jesus this morning. You're in the presence of Jesus anytime you acknowledge Him. Don't let your hesitation, your doubt, don't let what you don't know keep you from the one you can know, who's Jesus. And I want to cover you in prayer this morning before we go. Father, I pray this morning for every person in this room who's been hesitating to believe. Maybe they've been hesitating to believe you for salvation. But Lord, I just believe for them today is going to be the day of salvation. 1 John chapter 1 says, if we'll confess our sins, that you're faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from everything that's not right. And I pray this morning, if there's someone who needs to get things right with you today, Lord, you'll touch them, you'll minister to them, you'll, Lord, be their Savior, be their guide, be their leader this morning. Lord, I also pray for those in the room who have been Christ followers for maybe even for decades, but they've been hesitating to take that next step, whatever it is. I pray that today you'll give them boldness and confidence to take that next step in following you. And we'll give you thanks for it. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap today? We love you, Lord. Thank you for your word.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.